Well, Christmas, Christmas, the birth of Christ. Now, you know that Christ isn't Jesus' surname, right? His parents were not Mr. and Mrs. Christ. Christ is a title. It's a description of who he is. Christ is a description that was kept private for most of his life on earth. It's a description that contributed to him getting killed. But it's also a description that was used boldly by the first believers after Jesus rose from the dead. And so, what does it mean, Christ? Well, Christ is not an English word. It's a Greek word. In Greek, Christos. Christ, a Greek word. Christianity is a multicultural religion, which is a wonderful thing. But we know that doing things the multicultural way sometimes makes life a little bit more complex. And we've collected up different words and titles from different languages. And so the word Christ appears in the New Testament as a translation of a Hebrew word from the Old Testament, which is a word you've also probably heard. It's the word Messiah. So when we say Jesus is the Christ or Jesus is the Messiah, we mean the same thing. What does it mean in English? In English, so we've got Christ in Greek, Messiah in Hebrew. In English, we would translate it as the Anointed One. Although anointed, that's not really a word we use every day. To anoint means to put oil on someone's head. Now, why would you do that? Well, in the Old Testament, someone would often be identified and appointed to a special job by putting oil on their head. These days, we might identify that someone has a certain job by maybe giving a letter of employment, maybe giving them a badge. But in those days, they did it in some sort of ceremony involving oil. And in particular, we find that people were anointed with oil if God had chosen them to be either a prophet or a priest or a king. And so when we call Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, we're actually, in using that word, we're recognizing that in Jesus' case, he fulfills all three of these positions. He is our prophet. He is our priest. He is our king. And so this Christmas, we're going to think about how it is that Jesus fulfills all of these three jobs. Today, we're going to trace through a series of Bible readings, starting in the Old Testament and working into the New Testament, which will tell a bit of the Bible's big story and help us to understand Jesus the prophet. And next Sunday, we'll think about Jesus our priest, and then Christmas Day, Jesus our king. So let's pray. Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, please, as we read and we reflect on your word this morning, please give us ears to hear. Please give us hearts to respond to Christ our prophet. Amen. The first Bible reading that John is going to bring in a moment is from Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 14. So you'll find that on page 218, and you can look that up. This passage is kind of like a job description for God's prophet. The background is that God's people only really started to be a nation about 40 years before these words that we're about to read. God's people were slaves that God had freed from Egypt, and they went out of Egypt into the desert to a mountain called Horeb or Sinai, and there they heard the voice of God himself. And that's an extraordinary thing. The God of the universe is a God who did not choose to keep to himself, but who chose to speak to people. Because think about it, you can't really know a person until they speak. There are certain things, if you watch someone, you see them every day, you can guess things about them, but it's not until you have a conversation that you can really know what's on someone's mind. Anyway, it's fair to say that the people, after they heard the voice of God, didn't actually enjoy it. They found it terrifying. They said to their leader, Moses, how about you talk to God and you can pass his message on to us? Which is what happened. But by now, Moses has grown old. He won't be around forever. And so let's hear what he has to tell the people.
The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account.
So what is the job description for God's prophet? Well, we read here that the prophet is a human who hears God's message and proclaims it to his brothers. And to listen to the prophet is to listen to God. And to reject the prophet is to reject God. As a human, he is what we'd call a mediator in between God and God's people. And you notice here in this reading that that's a good thing. The people preferred a human voice to bring God's message. And even God says in verse 17, this is a good thing. So it's interesting. Think about that. God says this is a good thing that there is a mediator. The prophet is essentially God's spokesman. So today, companies or governments will appoint a spokesman who is authorized to stand in front of the media and to pass on the official message of the company or the official message of the government. And in the same way, the prophet doesn't come up with his own message. God says in verse 18, I will put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I command him. And so as the story of the Old Testament continues, we find that God does raise up prophets. And as long as the people listen to the prophets, things go well. For example, the prophet Samuel comes and leads a spiritual revival, and as a result of his ministry, kings were appointed who eventually brought peace to the kingdom. Although you keep reading in the Old Testament, as time goes on, God's people grew tired of the message of the prophets. And the more prophets God sends, it seems the less that people are interested in their message. Until you get to the end of 2 Chronicles, where it says they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. And so God brought disaster. The kingdom of God's people was defeated by a foreign army. The city was destroyed and many of the people were taken far from home. And yet as this disaster was unfolding, God sent a prophet named Isaiah who brought a message of hope. He said, yeah, things are bad now, but there will be a time when the shame of God's people is taken away. There will be a time where God's people are not the ones that the nations look at and laugh, but they will be a glorious light to the nations. And so let's read part of Isaiah's prophecy now.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor.
So that's Isaiah chapter 61. Now what did we read here? In context, we can see that Isaiah is not talking about himself. He's talking about someone else, someone who is anointed. Do you remember that word, anointed? That means, if someone's anointed, that means someone who is a Messiah, someone who is a Christ. Someone who, by the power of God's Spirit, will bring good news to the poor. This Messiah he talks about is God's spokesman. In verse 2 it says he will proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And so while the Old Testament is a story of many prophets, the hope of these prophets is that one day there will be a single great Christ prophet who God will use to bring a comfort that lasts. And so now let's go to the New Testament and see how this hope is fulfilled in the Christmas story. And this next reading is from Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And this talks about what happened when Jesus was about 6 weeks old.
Luke 2:25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what is the custom of the law that required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
And so this man Simeon, what has he been waiting for all his life? Verse 25 says he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation. Consolation means comfort. In verse 26 he says he knows he's going to see the Christ. He's going to live to see the prophet who will bring this comfort, this good news for the poor. And so how does he describe this baby that he takes into his arms in verse 32? He says this baby is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He's saying it's like the nations have been living in a dark room. They've only been able to guess who God is and what he might want. But Jesus has come to turn the light on, to show us who God is and what we need to know to respond to him. So can you see that in the Christmas story, there's a recognition that Jesus is God's spokesman to the world. Jesus is God's Messiah prophet. Now, it's not all happy news for Jesus' mother, because did you notice that bit at the end, verses 34 and 35? Simeon warns that not everybody likes the light to be turned on. Some people prefer the darkness, and so while some will accept Jesus the prophet, others will reject him. A sword will pierce Mary's heart. She will have to go through the grief of seeing her son put to death. But let's not go too far ahead in the story. John, will you bring us the next reading from Luke chapter 4?
Luke 4:42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Okay, so it wasn't just that other people looked at Jesus and said, "Here, this guy's a prophet." Jesus considered himself sent by God to announce the good news. In fact, Jesus saw his work as God's spokesman as central to his mission. He says, "That's why I was sent." Speaking, announcing God's message, it's not the only thing that Jesus did, but it was central. It was Jesus' work as a prophet which drew great crowds. It was Jesus' work as a prophet which stirred up opposition and jealousy against him. And so in the end, just like so many prophets before, Jesus was rejected and mocked and put to death. But of course, something happened a few days later which confirmed that Jesus was greater than any of the prophets who came before. Because death could not hold Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus appeared to his disciples. Jesus taught them more about the kingdom of God. And then he went back to his Father, where he continues alive in heaven. And so he's at the end of the story of Christ the prophet. Well, not quite. We've got one more reading. Acts chapter 13 and verse 44.
From Acts 13, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit.
So this is a story of some of Jesus' followers filled with the Holy Spirit sent out to the nations. And I want you to particularly notice what they say in verse 47. In verse 47, they say, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the nation, for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now just hang on a minute. The old man Simeon, who did he say is a light to the nations?
Jesus.
He said Jesus is. But Paul and Barnabas are taking that as a command for us Christians. So what's going on here? It's that Jesus the Christ is actually continuing his work as a prophet, working by his Spirit through his people. Christ in heaven continues his work through Christians. And the message we have is not a new message. We don't add anything to what Jesus taught, but we extend the work of Jesus the prophet as we take his message to all the world. And so today we've looked at some of what we mean when we say that Jesus is the Christ. Part of what we mean by that is that Jesus is a prophet. He's not just a prophet. There's other things that we're going to look at next week. But he is a prophet. And it's a wonderful thing that God has given us a prophet. I read a good book a few years back. The book was called If I Were God, I'd Make Myself Clearer. And it's a book which addresses the fact that there's all these different religions out there that claim to have the truth. But if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then actually you believe that God has made himself clear. Because God has given us a prophet. Actually, God has given us his own son as a prophet. John Calvin wrote about Christ our prophet. He said, outside of him, there's nothing worth knowing. And those who by faith grasp his true character possess the boundless immensity of heavenly blessings. I think the point of that comment, it's not that, okay, there's other sorts of knowledge like maths and English and geography. It's not that they're useless to Christians. But if you know maths and English and geography without knowing Jesus, then what's the point of it all? How can we celebrate the birth of Christ our prophet this Christmas? Well, let me give you two things. First of all, Christmas is a reminder to listen to Jesus. Remember, in the first reading, what God said through Moses when he laid out his plans for his prophet, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, you must listen to him. And of course, when God says listen, he means listen in the fullest sense of the word. He means listen, understand, believe, internalize it. Respond to it. Make the message of Jesus a message that you value, that you live by. It's because Jesus is a prophet that teaching is such a focus in the church. Teaching's not the only thing we do, but teaching is central. Because in Jesus' teaching, God reveals himself to us. So listen to Jesus. Listen as a community. Aim to think through and to process his message in conversation together. Make sure we're hearing it right. And also listen individually. Now, Diane brought up earlier on that Christmas is a time where we're often busy and we're sort of out of routine. And it means that it's actually a time of year where personal Bible reading can just kind of get pushed to the side. But wait, if we're celebrating the birth of Christ our prophet, well, surely we want to read his word as a light shining in a dark place. And so, will you plan a time where you're just going to shut your door and turn off your phone and read about Jesus? Second thing, Christmas is a reminder to speak about Jesus. That's why we're inviting the community to Christmas carols tonight. And think about it. If our friends and colleagues are celebrating Christmas of all things, then surely that means we're within our rights to ask them, you're celebrating Christmas, you're having a day off. What are you doing? Have you ever read the story of the first Christmas? If they say, oh yeah, I have, then surely we can ask them, well, what do you think about it? And if they say, no, I've never read it, well, you know what, to give them as a gift. Not everyone wants to talk about Jesus. Actually, as we speak, we also need to be careful listeners. If someone tells you, no, I'm really not interested, you're not going to achieve a lot by trying to force the conversation. It's okay to wipe the dust off your feet, like the apostles did in our last reading. But do look for opportunities to put it out there. God might be at work in some of your friends and some of your colleagues. Some of them might be like the people in that reading who were glad and honored the word of the Lord. So maybe I'll finish with a quote from Martin Luther. And this is what he said. He said, Jesus has taught me to know God the Father. He's revealed himself to me and has acquainted me with the Holy Spirit. He's also instructed me how to live and how to die and has told me what to hope for. What more do I want? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have not hidden yourself from us. You've revealed yourself to us. You've shone your light through Jesus, your prophet. Father, please make us good listeners. Enable us to listen and hear and respond with love and gratitude and praise. Father, please give us opportunities to speak that same amazing message to someone else this Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.